Subcommittee on Employee Relations this morning. We, at this time, we don't have a quorum, but we do have other members that will show up. We'll go back just a little bit. Last time we met was on the 2nd of April. We had the Assistant Commissioner of Labor Relations for Minnesota Management and Budget, Ms. Holmes, with us. And, received an update then, and so that's been 3 weeks. And we would like to proceed and ask Ms. Holmes to come and visit with us once again and let the committee and the citizens know where we're at in the process of contract negotiations for the state. Welcome, Ms. Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the subcommittee. Again, for the record, my name is Barbara Holmes. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for Labor Relations at Minnesota Management and Budget, and in that role, I act as the state's chief labor negotiator. When I last appeared before you, I believe I informed you that the employer had made an offer to both the negotiating teams for the Ask Me unions and the MAPE union, and that particular offer was rejected by the bargaining teams. The mediator suggested and the parties agreed that the offer would be sent out to the members of the respective unions for a vote to either accept the offer or to reject and arbitrate. The unions informed us last week of the results of that vote by the union members. And the results were that both the members of both unions resoundingly rejected the state's offer, and the parties will proceed to arbitration, voted to proceed to arbitration. I can tell you that the parties have chosen an arbitrator, and that particular individual, his name is Stephen Befford. He is a University of Minnesota law professor and acts also as a labor arbitrator. He is certified by the Bureau of Mediation Services to perform these sorts of duties and has been doing it for a long time and has an impeccable record. We also asked the arbitrator to conduct a mediation session with the parties. First I should make sure that we all understand the difference between mediation and arbitration. A mediation, the mediator takes where the parties are at in their particular positions and attempts to get them to mutually agree to a resolution. When you put those same issues in front of an arbitrator, the arbitrator is the person who actually makes the final decision. So both sides present why they believe their proposals should be accepted, and the arbitrator makes the final decision. We asked Professor Befford to conduct a mediation session with the parties. That was done last Thursday and Friday. We also have an additional mediation session scheduled for May 9th, which the plan is to hold. The mediator asked both parties to take a closer look at a particular issue that the other was interested in. As I explained at my last appearance before you, the Data Practices Act classifies any sort of mediation issues or discussions or information as protected non-public information, so I can't discuss the details of the mediation with you. I can tell you that the arbitration has been scheduled for May 30th and June 1st, and then if we need any additional time from that would be a Thursday and a Friday, I believe, and if we need any additional time, we would continue the first and second day of the following week.
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
Can you, at least for my knowledge, can you tell us some of the highlights of the offer? I'm not aware of what the what's been going on, what the percentage is, or health, and what have you.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen, as I explained during the last meeting, I don't think you were.
I wasn't here. That's.
The data practices law is very clear that we are in mediation, and I can't discuss.
Not even, Mr. Chairman, not even the original offer? That's not public knowledge?
I can't discuss the details of that particular offer. I know at the last meeting that I believe there was some information available that was taken from one of the union's websites that they use to communicate with their members because they have so many of them. And I believe that that was passed out last time.
All right. Representative Draskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Holmes, how many? If we look back in history, how many times has there been mediation and arbitration or arbitration in these contract negotiation processes?
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Draskowski, almost every one of our labor contracts in the final week or two of negotiations turns into a mediation, and we bring mediators in from the Bureau of Mediation Services to help us reach an agreement. That is a very, very standard process. With respect to your question regarding arbitration, we have a number of units that are designated essential units. If we are unable to reach agreement with them, we take those disputes to interest arbitration is what it's called. That's the as opposed to arbitrating discipline cases or something. Anyway, we take the resolution of the contract to interest arbitration. I would say that we probably have one of those every other round of bargaining. At least one of those units takes an issue to arbitration. I can get you more precise data if you would like that. And I think Mr. Hubinger can provide that information also.
And Representative Draskowski.
Thank you, Ms. Holmes. Yeah, that information will be helpful. You know, Senator Metzen kind of piqued the interest, I think, that we had last time about, or maybe I should reframe it as, at that point, the frustration that the legislature, the body that is representing the legislature in these discussions, has not been able to understand or even see some of the elements. My expectations were we were going to be able to at least see an outline of the elements of the offer, and we weren't able to, and that. That was certainly, there was a lot of frustration at the last meeting. Ms. Holmes, I don't know if you've got a copy of the publication I have in front of me. It's got the AFSCME logo on the front, 2011 through 13. This was actually emailed to me by a union member, and I find it ironic and unfortunate that in order for the people of Minnesota to know anything about the proposal that the government is bringing forward in these negotiations, we actually have to receive it from the union when our own government has that information and is either unable or unwilling to share it with us. Really frustrating. So anyway, this appears to be an outline of the proposal that that the state brought, at least to AFSCME anyway. I'm just curious, maybe you haven't, I don't know if you've seen this document or not, but I'm curious as to whether all the elements of the proposal are included in this summary or not. And I was wondering if you might know that.
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Draskowski, no, I have not seen this document, so I wouldn't be able to comment. I don't feel like I'm able to comment about what's in or what's out of the offer, given that we're in mediation. And I understand your frustration, and I understand why you're starting to see this as an unwillingness to discuss this with you, and I assure you that it isn't. When I have a data practices statute that says this is protected, you know, protected data, I can't violate that statute.
Representative Draskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Ms. Holmes, it's helpful to know, you know, maybe at some point what we need to look at and address maybe legislatively in order to bring the opportunity for this group to be able to know a little bit about what's going on, because we have been virtually in the dark about this, and that's evident especially as you move to page 3 of this document. Page 3 under insurance, and this is the first time I ever heard about this component. Apparently, the governor's proposal is to allow same-sex domestic partners to receive medical and dental insurance coverage as part of the proposal. And, you know, I don't know, Ms. Holmes, you really outlined the fact that you don't have the ability to talk about any more detail about this. But, again, it's very frustrating that that we have to actually wait to hear from the union before we realize what the governor's agenda is, or a portion of what his agenda is in this negotiation process. And evidently it's to bring social issues into the contract process, which is again very frustrating. But thank you, Mr. Chair.
We do have a quorum, let the record show that. Representative Downey.
Yeah, thank you. Ms. Holmes, I'm curious. So the state has you're bound by the state's data practices law. Is AFSCME somehow immune from that state law?
Ms. Holmes?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Draskowski, yes, they are not a governmental entity, and they are not bound by the Data Practices Act.
Representative Downey.
So, Mr. Chairman and Ms. Holmes, if we as legislators or other citizens were connected enough with AFSCME or the bargaining units, we ourselves could get around the state's law by virtue of their dissemination of this information. Is that what
Ms.
I understand?
Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Downey, I don't pretend to be an expert on data practices. I think that you've given kind of a vague sort of solution or scenario. I'm afraid I couldn't answer that question that you posed.
Representative Downey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, it might be interesting to find out. I mean, maybe this is our way to actually have insight to the to the negotiation process, because it seems like everybody on the bargaining unit side of it, and likely their friends, and apparently somebody shared this with Representative Draskowski, so this might be our channel around the Data Practices Act, and if that's true, then that Data Practices Act is pretty toothless in this circumstance. So I don't know why it would apply formally to the administration and to presumably then us in the legislature when there's a bunch of big holes you can drive a bus through to get the information through other means. So that's probably something we should take a look at in the future. That doesn't seem quite right.
Further questions for Ms. Holmes?
Well,
go ahead, Representative Downey.
Mr. Chair, maybe just a separate topic. I'm wondering if we could, Ms. Holmes, do you have a copy of the document?
Yes.
Could we walk through this, maybe kind of point by point? Representative Draskowski raised one. There's a couple of others as well. And maybe have you give us an update on, you know, whether this information is accurate or not. Could we do that? Maybe starting with, I think the preamble probably isn't real important, but Article 4, seniority, is it true that those are just kind of technical date changes and that there's tentative agreement on that?
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Downey, I am unable to comment on what's in mediation or what isn't in mediation, and therefore don't feel I would be more than glad to go through this document and receive your input regarding what's in there, but I can't discuss any details of what's in mediation right now.
Representative Downey.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'll spare us the exercise of going through all whatever 30 or 40 articles and appendices here and getting the same answer, but obviously we got a really broken process here, and I think on its face everyone sees the problem that we're under, that we've got a bargaining unit that's, if not technically violating the Data Practices Act, then at least in effect by disseminating the information more broadly than its members, then pretty clearly we got a serious problem here.
Well, I had somebody talk to me the other day, and they made a statement which, you know, has stuck with me. And this person said, you know, it appears that the unions are more transparent with the governor than the governor is with the state of Minnesota's citizens, because we, the citizens, feel that they're going into these negotiations with no knowledge, and I think that's, you know, Ms. Holmes, that's the reason for much frustration. I think last time we discussed the fact that because of communiques that we've received, it appears that the unions are more interested in dragging their feet until hopefully they have a new legislature that is more favorable to increases in their contracts. That is, I think, one of the biggest issues for creating some of the frustrations, and then the fact that the citizens just don't know what's going on. And so I would somewhat have to agree with Representative Downey. I think, you know, maybe there's something that the legislature needs to take a look at in the Data Privacy Act, and maybe some tweaking where information and contract negotiations should be available to the public. I mean, it is, in my mind, it is right now with this information being sent to you, Representative Draskowski, from one of the union members. So, Representative Benson.
Mr. Chairman, so if we'll hope that the mediation goes well and you arrive at an agreement, but can you give us some dates in terms of the process regarding if June 1st comes and goes and there's still issues that seemingly can't get agreement, that next step then would be to go to arbitration with the same person that you're using in mediation. Can you give us a thumbnail sketch of what those dates look like, you know, when both parties would begin giving testimony, you know, at 30 days and so on? Can you give us those dates?
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Benson, the arbitration is scheduled to be held on May 30th and June 1st.
Okay. So those two dates and two more if it's needed, and then he's got 30 days in which to write a decision and present it to the parties.
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Benson, that's correct. There's also an amount of time, probably a couple weeks after the close of the hearing, that the parties have to submit written briefs. And then from that date, the arbitrator by law has 30 days within which to make his award.
Representative Benson.
So approximately July 15th, we should have an answer to the contract.
If we go to Mr. Chairman, Representative Benson, if we go to arbitration, that would be accurate.
Okay, thank you.
Chairman. But, Senator Metzen.
Yeah, it seems to me that it takes two sides to work these things out. And with your comments, it seemed like you kind of put the blame on the unions. And I don't know if that's fair or not. I don't know. But I there are two sides in all of these issues. So to say that it's just the one side, I don't think is fair.
Well, Senator Metzen, you weren't here when we talked about the communique specifically through Minsky and the comments made, and that's why I'm not you know, the appearance came through an email that we received stating that they were, I believe it was, and I don't have it with me today, but I believe it was in hopes of a favorable legislature. And that was in that email. And so that, along with the fact that we, the citizens, and even the legislature, can't find out what the governor had proposed to the unions for a contract until we get something like this from the unions. And I just don't believe that the citizens of the state of Minnesota feel comfortable that way. I mean, everybody talks about openness and transparency. And I get the point that, you know, some things need to be negotiated. But in all reality, I think, and of course the citizens are going to know now when you get the domestic partnership benefits, I think that's going to raise some eyebrows and probably have some citizens very concerned that, you know, social issues are being brought into a contract negotiation. So with that, Representative Draskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Holmes, as we look at this document again, the bolded capped items that are concluded with a hyphen and state's best offer, I'm taking that to mean just what it is, that those proposals were actually brought forward by the administration rather than the union. So that this is those are items that the governor and his representatives brought forward in the proposal. Is that correct?
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Draskowski, I did not prepare that document, and again, data practices laws restrict me from talking about the issues in mediation.
Representative Draskowski.
Yes, that answers that, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
So, Ms. Holmes, let me just go back here. I thought you said there's a mediation on May 9th. Is that correct? Is that what I understand?
Mr. Chairman, correct.
And from that mediation, what could possibly happen?
Mr. Chairman, the parties could reach an agreement on the outstanding issues. That document or the agreement and any other items we've agreed to in the course of mediation would then be presented to either the would be presented to the subcommittee, or we could be unsuccessful in resolving any outstanding issues, and then we will proceed to arbitration. An arbitration award will be written by the arbitrator. That award will be given to you for your review and rejection or approval.
Okay. So that was my question on May 9th. Through that mediation, there could be an agreement on a contract, and at that time something could be brought forward, correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay. All right. Otherwise, we're looking at May 30th and June 1st, and if nothing happens there, arbitration, and if nothing happens there, I think you said the first and second day of the following week, and then after that, something would have to happen, correct?
Correct. The parties typically have a couple weeks to, again, submit written briefs regarding the information they heard from the other side at the hearing and arguing their case, and then that goes to the arbitrator, and by statute, he has 30 days to render an award.
Okay. All right. Representative Draskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Holmes, you know, the legislature is going to be adjourning in about a week or maybe less. With us being adjourned, I understand the dynamics of the contract approval process change at that point. With them not in town, it would have to be until next session or a special session before any eventual contract could be approved. Are there any items? I realize you can't suggest that these are your fingerprints or your department's fingerprints on these items, and I've heard that. But are there any items that you're aware of that this document asserts that could be developed in a memorandum of understanding when the legislature is not in session.
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Drazkowski, members of the committee, a memorandum of understanding is a process that the parties use to amend the labor contract. It is used in situations where that involve either an individual or usually involve an individual or a small group of individuals where the parties agree that the existing provisions of the contract somehow don't address the situation the way either party wants it to be. An example, I believe we had one of our residential facilities that typically had a 40-hour-a-week staffing situation, and because of the fluctuation in the patients that came into that facility, there was not always a need to have employees work 40 hours. The contract says if you reduce their hours under 40, it is a layoff. The parties agreed that there could be, they agreed in a memorandum of understanding for that facility to allow the employer to work the employees less than 40 hours a week without triggering a layoff. And that was would be an example of a particular situation where we wanted to do something different. Those memorandum of understandings have to have union approval and member approval, and when they're for smaller groups, that's pretty easy to do. We always send our memorandum of understanding. We send a copy. We send a copy to Mr. Hubinger. There are times when it could be used in a very broad way. An example of that would have been during the shutdown. We did have a memorandum of understanding that covered all state employees, but that is the exception. And that particular memorandum of understanding had to go out for a union vote. So if you have some concerns that somehow we intend to take provisions in the labor contract that apply to all employees and sneak it past you, that's certainly not my intent. We are taking the proposals and the issues that are in mediation, we will either mutually resolve them and put those issues in front of you, or the arbitrator will render an award that will be in front of you.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Holmes. Ms. Holmes, do you believe that domestic partner benefits would be a small enough group of individuals to qualify for an MOU when the legislature is not in session?
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Drazkowski, the small group of individuals are usually isolated by geography or a particular facility. Mr. Chairman, Representative Drazkowski, I can tell you that I am not aware of any indication from the governor that something like this is in the works or will be in the works.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Holmes, I wasn't really asking about what the governor's intent was, but I was wondering if in your professional estimation that a subset of state employees, AFSCME and MAPE employees, who may be eligible for a definition of domestic partner benefits would fit within the understood legal guidelines of a memorandum of understanding.
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Drazkowski, first of all, I don't know what the size of that group would be, to tell you quite honestly. I'm not aware what the size of that group would be. And Representative, all I can tell you is that my understanding of the process and how it should be used would not allow that. And I can tell you, I can tell you that I would not recommend, nor would I sign a memorandum of understanding that did that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Holmes.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Holmes, so I have an even better grasp of the process. It goes to arbitration, so unfortunately you're not able to reach agreement through mediation. You got to go to arbitration. I know that when I was in part of a negotiating team, labored for months on a particular article and on premium pay, didn't reach an agreement over the economic issues, goes to arbitration. All the work that we had done prior to that and reaching tentative agreements on that, of course, is just it's out the window, so to speak. Can you tell me, in terms of this process and what the arbitrator's responsibilities will be, will they just or he just focus on the issues that are outstanding and allow for the tentative agreements that have already been, you know, so to speak, they're not signed until you get an entire contract? Those will kind of not be an issue during arbitration, and you'll focus primarily just on those things that you just have some difficulty in having not reached an agreement. Does the arbitrator look at it as none of the things that we have talked about prior to this matter, and I'm starting from scratch on all the given issues, looking at the side's best offers or final offers, so to speak, on every single issue? Can you give me some clarification?
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Benson, no, what's been tentatively agreed to is not reopened and put in front of an arbitrator.
Okay. Representative Benson.
Can you give us an idea of approximately how many things then are left? I mean, you know, you're not going to give us any details regarding, you know, what specifically has been agreed to or even offered, but it'd be helpful to know at least, you know, how many particular things does an arbitrator and I'm not looking for you to convey that it's the financial piece or whatever, but how much still has to be done?
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Benson, I can tell you what I've seen. I've also, prior to my employment with the state of Minnesota in this role, I was a labor arbitrator, so I heard a lot of these type of cases. Generally, you're hearing the economic pieces, the wage pieces, and parties also bring several other what I would call language provisions, whether it was about a premium pay or some other provision, a scheduling provision. They may bring several issues to the table. The only time you see a lot of issues that get put in front of a labor arbitrator are when it is a first contract.
Representative Benson.
Okay, I didn't hear a number, though. I mean, I'm not looking for like four, but I mean, are we talking very few items? They're and basically economic. You don't have to tell me if they're even. I'm going to gather that they're economic. I've looked over this AFSCME contract, and that my assumptions are going to be certainly that it's an economic issue. But as I look at economic issues, that's health care, and it's the whole compensation package thing. It's just a few, or there are a number of things? It gives me an idea of the labor climate.
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Benson, my guess is that it would be a few.
Okay.
Representative Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Holmes, I want to go back to Representative Drazkowski's question about the possibility of an MOU. And you said that you would not sign an MOU such as Representative Drazkowski described. Do you need to sign an MOU, or I don't know, do you serve at the pleasure of the governor? Could somebody else, the Commissioner of Management and Budget or some other official, sign an MOU, or are you the only person in your position who could sign that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Downey, no, the MMB is the statutory employer for labor contract purposes. I am just, that's one of my roles, but no, that doesn't mean, my understanding is the commissioner could sign it and other people could be delegated that authority within the agency.
Representative Downey.
Mr. Chairman, but just to confirm, so in the circumstance that Representative Drazkowski described, you would not either personally or professionally feel comfortable signing and would not sign such an MOU?
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Downey, that's correct with what I said. My understanding of the MOU process is a very important tool for the employer, and I recognize that it's important that we use it for very limited purposes, and out of respect for the process, that's what I said.
Representative Downey.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And Ms. Holmes, you mentioned, I think, in your professional judgment that would be an inappropriate use of the MOU. And I'm curious, when you compare kind of that practice and the rules surrounding the MOU circumstances compared to what to many of us was very clear in state law about the governor's authority to attempt to hold a union vote for daycare workers, would you say that the MOU process is more firmly established, either in precedent or in law or in rule, than the laws regarding the union vote of the daycare providers? Would they be roughly equal?
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Downey, I know nothing about that other process. I was not involved with that. I deal with public employees. I am unable to answer your question.
Representative Downey.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and I'll just make a statement. I appreciate your professional integrity. I really do. And that's a pretty bold statement to make here on the record and in front of these groups, to say that from a professional ethics standpoint, you just would not be comfortable using an MOU in that circumstance. So I really appreciate that and respect you for that. You just need to understand that there's a group of people here in the legislature that feel like the administration did not at all feel constrained by a set of laws and rules governing the Bureau of Mediation Services' ability to conduct an executive branch-ordered unionization vote of daycare workers. And so I think we just appreciate that we would have some concern that your professional ethics notwithstanding, maybe there's nothing that would stand in the way of an administration who felt differently from trying to push through an MOU. And I think, people in the audience and members need to understand that this whole process, which now clearly has far exceeded any historical length of time for negotiations, combined with the information we've got that we've seen through emails that were intercepted, that people are trying to run out the clock and hope for another legislature or hope for some interim circumstance. So just appreciate we get really nervous when we see these kinds of openings where somebody with a different set of judgments on the process might choose to do something differently. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Any further questions for Ms. Holmes? Okay. Well, we once again appreciate the coming in and doing what you can. I think they're... As you can tell, there's still a frustration here, Ms. Holmes. Where I get very concerned is the fact that once this committee is given the contract, we have 30 days. And right now it's been 9 months. And I find it interesting that both the administration and the unions, maybe they put more... Maybe they believe in us more that we can get through a contract and look at it and either approve or disapprove of it within 30 days. Maybe that's a credit to us, but I'm concerned about that, that the first light that we'll actually get to see will be the day that it's dropped in our laps to either approve or disapprove. So, but I appreciate you coming in. Thank you very much. Any further comments or discussion by the committee here? Nothing? While we're here, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes of Monday, April 2nd.
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. There being no further business before this committee, we are adjourned.